Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Paul Steelman, the founder and president of Steelman Partners, to discuss his role in the design of the new Genting project on the Strip, Resorts World Las Vegas. The GGB podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at igt.com/peak. Steelman has had a great year. In October of last year, the Circa Casino Hotel in downtown Las Vegas debuted, the first new project in downtown in more than 20 years. And then in June, Resorts World Las Vegas opened on the Strip, the first new resort there in more than 10 years. Like Circa, Resorts World has broken new ground and promises to be the model for the integrated resort anywhere in the world for the next decade at least. Steelman talks about his collaboration with Genting chairman K.T. Lim and how new technology played a role in the 10-year design process at Resorts World. He spoke with me at his Las Vegas offices in October. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is architect Paul Steelman. Paul, thanks for joining us. It's great to sit down with you again.
Thank you, Roger. As always, a pleasure.
So first of all, congratulations on creating yet again another spectacular resort. Last year on cover of our Casino Style, Circa was there. What an incredible place that was in a little small footprint. And now you've done Resorts World, which has a huge area that you really filled up great. So, but you know, when you first started it, it was a project that was already underway. Obviously, when it was a stalled Echelon project that Boyd Gaming had started already. There's a parking garage and a foundation and some ironwork, I think. How did you incorporate that into your design?
Well, believe it or not, we thought that our initial opinions of the Echelon project were good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did launch the hotel to one side, to right. The northern side. It allowed for the pools to be placed on the south. It also allowed us to build multiple hotels, which, of course, were becoming the style in right. Macau, and then we mm-hmm. wanted to translate that particular idea to Las Vegas. The parking garage was, there were two parking structures. One was a little too far away,
right.
It still is today, and one is very close and how we would normally like to do
right.
Parking garages that are attached to the casinos to make guests have a convenient access point,
right.
Especially hotel guests. So also there was a central plant that was in its initial stages,
right.
which
mm-hmm.
was located at the perfect spot. So we thought Boyd Gaming, as you would think that they did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we didn't particularly like about the master plan and the plan that Echelon had was they had a Mirage style entrance,
right.
drive up to the front sort mm-hmm. of thing. And we believe that the front land was so valuable.
Right.
On our most famous street in the world, Las mm-hmm. Vegas Boulevard, that should have been preserved for commercial based activities. Mm-hmm. We couldn't see, as we did 30 years ago, working with Steve Wynn and Joel Bergman and designing the Mirage, that was a big thing, the drive
right.
up.
Sure.
But as time went on, I think convenience mm-hmm. Trooped the big
right.
Caesar's Palace sort of mm-hmm. Drive through the fountains while Evel Knievel
right.
Racing his motorcycle above you.
Right.
So consequently, we thought that the development process would allow us to change the master plan in some sort of way. Now, our particular client, Genting, is probably K.T. Lim, is probably one of the most ingenious real estate developers that has ever
right.
graced a foot in Las Vegas and has ever designed an integrated resort. And if you know from his style, he loves master planning.
Right.
And he loves the next phase, the mm-hmm. next phase, the next phase. And so consequently, what we did was shrink the overall footprint of the Echelon podium
mm-hmm.
to allow for, you know, about 40 acres.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's a site twice as large as the Fontainebleau site. Mm-hmm. That could, in fact, be master plan for future growth. Mm-hmm. And it sits on every side. Yep. So it sits on the north towards Circus Circus. It sits on the east towards the convention center and mm-hmm. towards Las Vegas Boulevard. It sits on the south. That could be a series of pools and all sorts mm-hmm. of unusual activities. And it sits on the west where it can be convention, Congress, and sort of those types of activities.
Sure.
Probably the master plan of Resorts World. The Genting master plan could exceed, you know, what they have in Malaysia someday mm-hmm. as far as room total.
Sure, sure.
So taking that master plan they did, we did use the essential elements, but the podium we more or less started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So early on, there was the concept it would have a Chinese theme, complete with pandas. When and why did that change?
It was funny. K.T. Lim, we did a panda exhibit, mm-hmm. and K.T. Lim, you know, how to get a panda in Las Vegas. It was funny. And K.T. Lim was kidding me one day. He said, "Paul, you know, if we don't get that panda, you're going to dress up in a panda suit and in fact, be the panda." Obviously, at that time, I think we were all fascinated, and still are today, with China. And Chinese traditions, mm-hmm. Chinese food, Chinese architecture, the color of China, the luck of China, the gold, the red, mm-hmm. the immense, you know, huge population that is just entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. like incredible. So Las Vegas being the land of, you know, escapism, the whole idea was to, in fact, escape to this particular region, probably a region that most Americans will, you know, 90% of Americans won't visit,
sure.
and try to take some of the activities. Now, it always had in the beginning, it had a historic front, but behind the Great Wall of China, which was on the Strip, it was a modern building.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a modern building.
Right.
So it was always meant to be modern in sort of a classic sort of way, in a way kind of competing with Wynn. And so a lot of people say, well, it was fully Chinese and so the zone. It really wasn't. The front was Chinese. We hit a wall, the Great Wall of China, and then you went into this other land, mm-hmm. heavily influenced by Asian architecture
mm-hmm.
and design, but not, you know, pagodas and
right,
things
sure,
like
sure.
this. Now, KT has two very talented sons, Louis and Yui Lim. Yui, of course, is running the nightlife business,
right.
and Louis is, in fact, the trained architect, by the mm-hmm. way, a very
okay.
good one. And Louis, through around in beginning of January 2019, it was decided to even de-emphasize the modern Asian interiors, mm-hmm. except in a few spots.
Right.
Such as the Genting Palace restaurant
right,
bar.
Sure.
But even that, when you look at that, it tends to be that China invaded a tropical island. It's more tropical
right.
than it is actually bang your head on China. So it's nice to have Genting here. It's nice to have the Asian customers and the Asian hospitality. And it's nice to give them the place that we know Asians like
mm-hmm.
from everything we've designed in Macau.
Right,
and Philippines mm-hmm. and Cambodia and the like.
So was there actually a time when you said we're not going to do the Great Wall? You know, we're just going to do something even more spectacular.
Sure. As time went on, the Great Wall and the Chinese theming, you know, when I showed it to Steve Wynn, he never liked it. He said,
yeah.
"Paul, don't do that.
Yeah.
No, don't do that." And as time went on, that kind of left us.
Mm-hmm.
And not only were we going to make the inside of the building modern,
right.
with an Asian little bit of a tilt, but we were going to make the outside of the building modern as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate enough to come along at a time where we could change the building in the style of the LEDs. And I think this was a big adventure
mm-hmm.
for us
yeah.
that really, really was great. And so, I mean, there was a time maybe, I would say maybe in 2018, that it was kind of like, okay,
yeah.
all right, so we're not going to have any historic Chinese,
right,
maybe
right.
a Chinese artifact
sure.
or art piece, but not okay. in the architecture.
Okay, great. So this resort is the first one to open on the Strip in the last 10 years. How much pressure did you feel that you had to raise the bar against anything else that had been built on the Strip even prior to that?
Well, Roger, I think number one, we're shocked it took 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we're shocked. I mean, Las Vegas was on a 4 or 5 year cycle.
Right.
And, you know, thinking about 10 years, I mean, you know, it's just incredible. Thinking about Circa, 40
right.
years,
sure.
I mean, is incredible. Las Vegas mm-hmm. has got to be building more properties for people to see and enjoy. And face it, each one of these attract more people than Disney World.
Right.
Just
sure.
one resort. Raising the bar, you know, has always been measured in Steve Wynn sort of terms.
Course, right.
And that's a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve Wynn raising the bar, spending multiple thousands of dollars per square foot is
right.
not necessarily the proper business decision or the proper decision that actually might go with mm-hmm. the majority of customers that are attending or visiting Las Vegas at this particular time. So I wouldn't say raising the bar, but it was creating a different bar,
mm-hmm. okay.
creating something different. There was a lot of things we wanted to do. We wanted to be sure the casino was energized.
Right.
And Huey Lim and his entertainment company did the famous Food Streets, which really packs the one side of the casino very, very nicely. The casino probably has a little bit of a taboo in its design. It's long and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably took that from the success of Galaxy, although in Las Vegas it was a no-no to do
right.
because everybody stepped into Bally's and you would see Bally's
right.
at this long
mm-hmm.
way. But we never approached the casino that way. We always approached it from the side. So consequently, you know, we tried to say to the people that we're going to visit this place, it's different.
Yeah.
It's closer. It's less steps. It's whiter.
Mm-hmm.
It's brighter. And as people would walk through it, I get a lot of comments.
Mm-hmm.
And people said to me, Paul, you've made a lot of things look pretty old on the Strip
mm-hmm.
as we walk through this place.
Right.
And it's a compliment to me and to our team, mm-hmm. and of course to Genting and
sure.
Scott Sabella and the design team at Genting mm-hmm. Resorts. But that sort of activity, we really think that's changed Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily raising the bar, but expanding
yeah.
the offering.
Well, it's definitely something different. I mean,
yeah, sure.
I think people all realize that. So the retail concept is different than any other Strip resort. You know, you've got stores scattered throughout the property rather than just one mall. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, the main mall is called the District.
Mm-hmm.
We called it for
right.
years the Spine. And of course, KT's ambition was to connect the north and south parts of the Strip,
mm-hmm.
connect Circus to Wynn.
Right.
Looking across the street, we felt that the Riviera site combined with the other sites that are over there that are Ross Dress for Less and
mm-hmm.
things like this, these
right.
sites have been problematic for years.
Right.
So consequently, we felt in order for the Strip to move,
mm-hmm.
and this is one of KT's things, for the Strip to move from Wynn, it would cross over to Resorts World and consequently then matriculate through,
mm-hmm.
matriculate not a word except
right.
for Hank Stram, it would go through Resorts World to Circus and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty confident in that architectural design direction today. So that led us to create the District, which is a very tall, large, daylit shopping center. It had
mm-hmm.
many, many designs
right.
over the years. The whole idea was to be with a neutral palette to actually allow the tenants to express their own
mm-hmm.
Architecture within a reasonable sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the things that survived our Chinese scheme was our digital sphere, which
right.
We specified it, I think, in 2015
mm-hmm.
almost, and that digital sphere, of course, is a very unique looking ball,
sure,
looking
right.
glass ball that was originally our design idea was, you know, when you go to a beautiful garden, Bujar Gardens in Canada, you know, what's the first thing you see is a fountain with a looking glass.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, let's look all around this, and so that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
The retail, there is retail scattered around a little bit here or there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, to put retail strategically around where the convention center will be in mm-hmm. the future, where the parking garage connects into the building, these types of things are powerful. And, of course, whatever is developed on the east side of the building, the retail will, in fact, look into or mm-hmm. participate in. So, okay. I mean, that's a unique thing. So we feel it's an important part, overall strategy of this, and we feel it does work. And it's a bigger master plan for the city of Las Vegas,
sure.
not only than just building a retail mall, mm-hmm. taking some escalators up from the casino and going in some moat right. with some guy right. singing Italian songs to you. So we think that this is a little bit more
sure.
Master plan.
Well, the F&B is also done in a unique way. I know there's entry levels, you know, at all. You know, you can get fast food or you can get gourmet dining.
That's very true, Roger. Fast food, though, is pretty good at this
right.
place.
I
would think that what Yui Lim did there at Famous Foods is, I think Las Vegas will be copying that mm-hmm. for a long time.
Yeah.
And I always send people when they say, where should I go to dinner at Resorts World? I say, well, we designed Genting Palace. I love it. It's a beautiful Chinese restaurant with fabulous food. But there's Wally's, which is a Santa Monica mm-hmm. favorite. A lot of people like it.
Right.
But I always say to them, go to Goggle Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Goggle Man is an unbelievable fast food that Yui Lim found. That's, it's great. And of course, Yui has two great restaurants there, the Fubu I forget the name of the other one, Red something. The dining experience, it's like anything else. We're here for 168 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is to get as much different dining experiences within any property that will enable you to fulfill your 168-hour visit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this place does. It has food for every taste, every menu, every price point,
mm-hmm.
and probably the most unique food court. And of course, you know, food courts are important to us,
yeah.
feeding wise.
Mm-hmm.
We have to feed a lot of people.
Right.
So, and especially with the buffets being
right.
X-gal,
sure. right.
you know, sort of thing. This place never really had a big buffet.
Right. Yeah.
The Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are a culmination of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. The results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience, resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. Now back to our podcast.
So, you know, wayfinding is always a concern in a big property like this. What did you do to make it easy to find your way, even though you still want people to wander and enjoy sure. all the different things that are there?
Yeah, you have to follow Bob Stupak's direction here a little bit. Bob always said, boy, they got to get lost in that casino. Mm-hmm. They can't find the door to leave. And that's why you put mirrors around and make it
right,
like
yeah.
a mirrored playhouse. But wayfinding, we've found over the years that your visit will be shortened if you do not see there's a clear way to leave.
Right.
Now, as we all know, casino gaming is an interactive sort of activity that needs interaction, whether it be with slot machine people, chips,
right.
so forth and so on. We always felt that a linear casino, we could organize everything a lot better
mm-hmm.
than we could in the old days where we're curving the casino.
Right.
And so consequently, we feel that that's actually a planning advantage of Resorts World because, you know, as Caesars was added to piece by piece by piece by piece, Mirage, we did it on purpose with a curving path back to the escalators. Bellagio has different angles to get into the convention center mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. So consequently, you are less oriented in those locations. But it seems to me, and of course I've been there a lot.
Yes.
I've looked at the plans for nine
right.
years and 2 months before we opened it. But it seems to me that it's a very organized mm-hmm. orientation that people feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
in. And people look good in it.
Sure.
That's another big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People look good in that building.
Right, right.
There's no question about it.
But at the same time, you still you have all these little things throughout the casino, the looking glass, the Volkswagen that's folded into each other, you know, and a lot of art installations as well. And you want people to just discover that, right?
Sure, sure. Kara Sifferman was the person that was in charge of that. She did a fantastic job sourcing a lot of unique arts, although I'm not sure I like the picture of donuts, but I mean, you know, I like donuts too much,
right,
and so consequently, but anyway, I thought it was cute. But I mean, I've gotten many, many comments about the Louis Vuitton horse or that's made of golf tees.
Right.
It's in the middle of that, and I've gotten many comments about some of the art in the Chinese restaurant, of course, the art that's actually in the Genting Palace bar, and of course, the Genting Palace the Crockford's lobby, which we designed, that art that's there. I've got many comments about. Kara did a wonderful job, I thought, probably with a fairly limited budget, because, you know, art in hotels is a little bit like the trees.
Right.
I mean, you know, the renderings have huge trees and they're all full and they got lights on them and so forth and so on. And by the time you get to the budget, it's a little stick.
Right.
So,
right,
I mean,
right.
Kara did a wonderful job within this thing, and of course, you're exploring, and you know, face it, it's an integrated resort. It's not a gambling hall.
Right.
I mean, the whole idea is to engage people with surprises, and we want to surprise everybody.
Right.
And if you feel empowered to win, and you're surprised by the decor, the artwork, it'll make you just feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
And when you feel better about yourself, you're going to spend more money in a place. Commercially.
Sure. And, you know, they tried to do that in a similar way at City Center, Aria, you know, and I think it's pulled off at Resorts World way better than they did there, you know.
Yeah, I think City Center's budget was considerably more than what Resorts World budget was.
Yeah.
I think there was a little bit of City Center of being serious, and where I think at the Resorts World, it was a little bit more about escapism.
No question. It's a little more whimsical, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
So tell us about the pool area. It's the second incredible pool area that you've built over the past couple of years. First, obviously, being that incredible pool at Circa, but this has it's a completely different type of pool area. And so where did your inspiration for this come from?
Well, you know, first of all, the Circa pool we did design 100%. Mm-hmm. Together with Derek Stevens and his gang, and it was our original idea during the competition to have a stadium sort of pool that was, of course, he took it like incredible.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible thing as we see today on ESPN and everything
like this.
Now this pool, I convinced KT to in fact choose Don Brinkerhoff. May his soul rest in peace. He just recently passed away.
Right, right.
He's one of the great innovators, and of course, he's in the Gambling Hall of Fame.
Sure, no question.
Probably the only design professional who is. And his team, headed by his daughter Julie, they did a fantastic job on this particular project. Now, the pool had many lives.
Right.
The hotel at one time was designed to be three Genting brands.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed for a long time to be three Genting brands. And of course, KT has many brands.
Right, sure.
And he owns the Crockford's brand, which nobody really knows about, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Us gambling guys, we know about Crockford.
Right.
And, you know, he's always had Genting Palace and those types of brands. And so it was always designed for three of his brands, which had a single pool, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, the hotel, just like it's happened in Macau with Galaxy and now the Marriott, JW Marriott, the Ritz-Carlton, Banyan Tree, and the Okura hotels. Well, as time went on, Hilton really wanted back in the Las Vegas market. And so consequently, it had to be designed for Hilton. Now, fortunately, it was Hilton, so there could be some joint uses. But one big pool with one big body of water is not where it's really at. You
Can
see that even in stadium swim today.
Smaller
bodies of water that are disconnected from one another. There's health requirements and so forth and so on. Of course, everybody wants their chair next to the pool. So Julie and her team did a wonderful job designing this pool on the floor, on the roof of the tower, and enabled it to really sing, I think, and be a very, very unique pool that has food and beverage. And a lot of pools in Las Vegas you kind of go to, and it's part of your deal. Mm-hmm. But the resort's pool is probably the only pool in Las Vegas that you could, in fact, go to and spend the day.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, I mean, it's a little bit like Hawaii mm-hmm. in those regards. And I think they did, as always, Lifescapes would do a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. And they did.
Sure.
And so that this particular pool is a big attraction, as we all know.
Right.
Probably not quite as big as Stadium Swim, but I'm sure I have not heard any bad comments about the pool.
Right. Yeah. No question. So you mentioned the hotel brands, Hilton and Crockford's. I was in Singapore. I went to the Resorts World there, and I'd never heard of Crockford's before. But when they gave me the tour of the hotel, I mean, it's such a five star quality property that it kind of shocked me that you know it was so nice. So how did you differentiate each brand? And obviously, they all have to have their own entry point and things of that nature. How did you do that?
Well, I think that. On the way how we master planned the lobbies, that enabled us to create three distinctive lobbies mm-hmm. architecturally.
Right.
So we created the Hilton lobby, the Crockford's lobby, and the Conrad lobby. Mm-hmm. That was easy to do. I mean, you take a page out of what we've been doing in Asia. It's the right thing to do. Three portico chairs, mm-hmm. three entrance points, three statements.
Right.
Once you get in the tower, you never know anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the view that we took. Of course, we kind of put Crockford's in a strategic location mm-hmm. because Crockford's had to relate to VIP gaming.
Sure. Yep.
Exactly. In order to achieve the success that KT has experienced in Singapore, or the Macau casinos, the most successful ones are where the hotel elevators are very close to the high limit gaming areas,
right.
and the Asian restaurants.
Yeah.
So we needed to do that. Crockford's was going to be in the middle. Now the hotel was set up with smaller rooms to the west, larger rooms to the east. So it made us put Crockford's and Conrad in the east, mm-hmm. and Hilton in the west hotels, and that's kind of how it all worked out.
Okay.
KT did work a lot on this. Mm-hmm. He was very involved in the elevators, how we're going to get up to Starlight 66, how the elevators worked and how the lobbies were connected,
mm-hmm.
Because just he knew, even though we were building three distinctive hotel products, that he knew that they had to be somewhat interconnected for a lot of things, for people walking.
Sure.
But also from back at house activities and servicing and all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this enabled us to create what we consider a fairly successful new age sort of hotel with different offerings. Now, Las Vegas has had the VIP tower and,
sure.
you know, and the
right.
Wynn tower. They've had the Sky Suites at MGM and things of this nature, but never to the extent that it was done at Resorts World.
Right,
Resorts World really did it.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to see more of that as time goes on.
Okay, great. So one of the signatures of this property is the technology that has been built into it. How did the design process work with that talent? And how did that affect your design process?
Well, I think Scott Sabella and his team, the technology team, did a wonderful job of making an advanced casino.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We had to tailor make some of our tables and slot machine designs to, in fact, accomplish these goals. These goals are admirable, that you're playing out with digital wallet,
mm-hmm.
Using your Resorts World digital wallet to buy almost everything in the place. I mean, this is how my son is today.
Sure.
Double clicking his phone for everything.
Right.
So, consequently, we feel that the initial takes, the initial things that Scott and KT did were a big chance for Las Vegas.
Right.
And we hope that they will pay off. We know they will pay off in time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the first innovators, as you know, are the ones that fall by the wayside. But this particular situation is something we all need to do. And I give KT the credit for authorizing Scott, go get it done.
Right.
And, of course, we see the technology in our hotels changing rapidly. Our front desks are getting smaller. We are working on, in our gaming company, we're working on chipless blackjack tables. Right. You know, we are working, you know, we see that, you know, and the Marriott is there are no room keys, you're holding up your phone. Mm-hmm. We're seeing RevPAR trying to be established by holding up your phone, the various activities within the hotel room to mm-hmm. keep it away from the TripAdvisor fees and those outrageous fees. And we see all of the touch points, that we're limiting the touch points in all our buildings and maximizing the phone integration into it. And that's just going to be the way of the future.
Yeah.
So we'll all have a phone and nothing else.
Right.
So that's it.
So how have you been keeping up with how the guests are responding to the design process?
I do read the reviews. No question. I do read them. I have been somewhat surprised by some of the reviews at Resorts World. There's mm-hmm. no question about that. I am always surprised at the reviews, the positive reviews at Circa. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, this is yeah. the God's casino sure, and things like this. I go, wow. The reviews to us have been very favorable with the building and the hotels, the staff, mm-hmm. and some of the reviews are somewhat a little bit troubling when it comes to, you know, the newness of it all.
Sure.
And that's to be expected. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the old days of SLS where everybody sat and they opened SLS here in Las Vegas. Everybody sat in the coffee shop on the Wi-Fi and gave it 400 negative reviews.
Right.
It's not that at all. I think a lot of people like Resorts World. Mm-hmm. I think the integration to our convention center is just wonderful.
Right.
The connection to the Tesla Tunnel is going to be mm-hmm. seamless. And the activities within it are going to be great. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, the business-to-business relationships that is established at our convention center and throughout Las Vegas have taken part in Resorts World. Mm-hmm. And that business-to-business connection is going to be very powerful, and I see it in the reviews as I read them today.
Sure. Yeah.
Now I'm not sure about all these nightclub reviews; they seem a little unusual to me. And face it, I'm not an expert in that by any stretch.
They get a little picky there sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not sure about a $50 vodka Red Bull or something like this. I'm not sure about any of that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
But I do know one thing. Genting has always been a company to give everybody a fair deal. Mm-hmm. If you look at all their properties throughout the world, and I visited them all, maybe with a few exceptions of a couple of those in London and the UK. But, at Genting, Highlands got a fair deal, fair mm-hmm. meal, and fair shake. Mm-hmm. It's always good. And I think that they've continued this here.
Yep.
And I think Scott Sabella, let me tell you, I've worked on a lot of projects in my life, mm-hmm. and this was a 9-year, 2-month adventure for me. Mirage was only 4 years.
Right, yeah.
So think about it, it was twice as long. Scott came in 2.5 years prior to it, and he managed to pull it together.
Yeah.
And you have to give him an awful lot of credit of pulling it together. There's no question about that. And I was at the Power of Love dinner last weekend, I believe, on Saturday night, and they honored various artists from Motown mm-hmm. And of course, Larry Ruvo. And, and they had built a tent out there, I believe, for Cowboy Christmas out in the back where the mm-hmm. convention center will be. And I think Scott did a marvelous job on the tent. I think it was probably, we've had a lot of tents in Las Vegas.
Sure, right.
You looked at that tent, I said, my God, this was a fabulous job. Yeah. He did a fabulous, fabulous job. I know he's not a guy that likes to brag about himself, but.
Yeah.
But I just shook my head at how good it was.
Yeah,
really
good.
He's,
I think he's done a great job there. So what's next for Steel & Partners? I see your name connected to a lot of developments. What's on the top of your list right now?
Well, we have a lot of projects. Obviously, it's announced we're working on Naga 3.
Right.
So we're very anxious about that. That building is about the same size as Resorts World, mm-hmm. so it's very large. Dr. Chen, of course, totally unusual. Mm-hmm. Fantastic guy who thinks far, far ahead, thinks 40 years younger than his age.
Yeah.
And we're very anxious about that. Of course, we're also building Vladivostok for him at this time. We're going to actually build it through the winter this year.
Oh, yeah.
So
wow.
We've taken a few winters off,
yeah.
But we hope that we'll be able to fix that building and complete it, you know, soon. Mm-hmm. And I think that, that's going to be pretty interesting. We hope that the promise of Eastern Russian gaming mm-hmm. will, in fact, come true with this particular building, which is the first phase of a multi-phase project, mm-hmm. as Dr. Chen would always have it. In quarter one or two next year, we'll open up the design that we did a lot of the planning and architecture, but most of the interiors for Galaxy 3, for the combination of the conference center and arena, and it's looking absolutely spectacular.
Right.
I think people will be shocked at how great it is. Mm-hmm. I think the Chinese government will love it.
Yeah.
I love it
sure.
when I'm in it and seeing pictures of it. It's just such a most unique conference and arena situation that's ever been developed. So mm-hmm. we're very anxious. So you saw that yesterday we were announced at the Gila River mm-hmm. and in Arizona in the Santan Mountain, it's called. It's the fourth casino right. for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a probably one of the most gorgeous sites in Arizona. And this casino will be totally unique.
Yeah.
It will be the first casino that will feature windows, mm-hmm. operable windows.
Really?
And you'll be able to go outside, and it will have a very unique glass mm-hmm. that will eliminate drapes and shades and so on and so on. And Richie Strifelda and Ken Manuel and the entire tribe there have done a fabulous job conceptualizing this. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the groundbreaking, they said, we need to hurry. It's going to be open in 12 months.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure about that, but I hope so.
That's a quick timeline there, for sure.
It's a beautiful project.
Yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
gorgeous. I hope you do a article on that someday.
Yeah.
It's worth it, believe me.
Well, this will make two years in a row we have a Steelman design project on the cover of Casino Style.
Oh, yeah,
so
there
maybe,
we go.
Maybe
there
next we go. Year we can pick up one of those.
Okay.
Paul, thanks for the time.
Thank
it's great
you.
To see
you
again. Congratulations on Resorts World and all the success you've had here in Las Vegas and beyond.
Thank you, Roger, and all the best with you. And we love reading and seeing your great magazine and all the reports.
It's just the kind of mess I'm looking for. I'm gonna dream till Monday comes in sight.
Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Visit IGT.com/peak for more information. To learn more about casino design and integrated resorts, visit GGBMagazine.com. And don't miss the cover story on Resorts World Las Vegas in the 2021 Casino Style at CasinoStyleMagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at GGBNews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss any edition of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. And we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.
I want to see-